thanks for joining us for the Changing the Industry podcast, where we try to effectuate change for the better, one conversation at a time. Part of that change is providing help for those that need it. This is why we've partnered with the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence. Whether it's help with sales, operations, or just getting your numbers in order, these folks are some of the very best in the industry. And for our listeners, they'll sit down with you and go over your strengths, your weaknesses, and the opportunities that are in front of you. They'll create a customized plan for how to move forward, absolutely free. That's right, free. And if your plan includes one-on-one coaching, they can also help you with that. There's no hard sales pitch, no obligation, just honest help from honest people. So if that's something that you think could benefit you, make sure you click on the link in the show notes. And now, on to the show.
Maybe you formatted it incorrectly. Ever considered that?
Let them fly.
Accusations. We're good at accusations in this room. It's primarily David throwing the accusations, but
I look like I'm in a closet.
You've been in a closet your whole life.
You think not going to go there. Not
going to
go there.
Hopefully you don't come out on the show. I'm just
saying. You did walk full frontal right into that.
I can't say that I've ever seen you blush, but the good news is you no longer look like you have jaundice.
How do you tell? How are you going to tell that I blushed? It looks like I have jaundice.
Well, you turn more orange than red, so... Anyway. Clint White, buddy, how you doing?
Lucas, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely, sir. So you taught a class today at Vision, and I guess we should make sure that the listeners know who you are. We've been talking and chatting online for years now.
Yeah.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, yeah. My name is Clint White. I'm the owner and founder of CWI, Coaching with Integrity, and I am an industry coach, consultant, trainer, guru, and sometimes resident moron. And what I do is I strive to change the industry. Yeah. I actually coined that phrase before I knew you'd coined that phrase.
Right.
I've been in the industry about 30 years.
Okay.
And I've been a technician. I've been a service advisor. I've managed multiple shops. I've had my foot in just about every mud right. puddle there is. And I'm very passionate about people.
Yeah.
I love people. And I want to see this industry be better.
Yeah. So tell me this, how did you get to the coaching role? Where did that come from in this whole process? How did you go from being in the field to working on the field?
Yeah,
I was
afforded the opportunity to work with a couple of service advisors that needed some guidance and some wisdom.
Okay.
And somebody opened the door for me for that. And
right.
And I was blessed to continue forward and have built a business from that, yeah.
That's pretty awesome, man. That's pretty awesome. And so today you taught a class. Tell us a little bit about what that class was.
Yeah, so I taught on successful scheduling and workflow management and really broke down a process by which shop owners, service advisors, and technicians come together.
Yeah.
One of the things that I see when I do on-sites with shops is there is a significant amount of tension and there is a grotesque amount of miscommunication.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what's going on front of the house versus back of the house. And I found that much of it is rooted in poorly designed software. And I hate to say that. It is what it is. Where we're trying to work with this this great technology, and it's convoluted. It's confusing. It segregates this board with that board, with this schedule, with that appointment book. It's nuts. And so I really teach something that I consider to be, I don't know, third grade technology. Okay. It's not hard.
Right.
Put it all on one page and make sure everybody knows what's going on and empower your technicians to be able to manage their workflow, empower your advisors in the same manner. So that's really kind of the nutshell what I taught.
That's a interesting concept. And the reason I say that is because we see so many shops like really struggle with scheduling.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a lot of talks. And I went through that a little while with my shop, right? It's like trying to find that balance, especially when we were in three bays.
Yeah.
And we were pushing $130,000 a month, and one of our bays was only 7 foot tall, right?
Wow.
And so it was a constant push to make sure we had the right vehicle in the right bay at the right time and make sure we had capacity for it. And I always found myself either too far in one direction or too far in the other direction. I either didn't have enough work or I had too much work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know right now we're talking about shops being slower than they were and whatnot, but it's for me, you know, I talked to Rick White and Rick gave me the parking lot scheduling. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I kind of developed in my shop and built our systems around that. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that, like, let's really look at our hours per RO and let's make sure we're scheduling with a little bit of common sense here.
Yeah.
Because what I was doing before was just like as many cars as I could get as I thought I could fit through.
Yeah.
And it feels really busy today, so I'm going to schedule less.
Yep.
And the next day, I feel really, really slow, so I'm going to schedule more. Mm-hmm. And it just never, like I was creating these waves in the shop. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's when you schedule by the seat of your pants.
Right? Yeah.
And you're wearing chaps, so yeah. It's a little breezy, son.
Well, you know, what sucks about it is that there's so many shops and service advisors, shop owners, technicians, everybody going through this right now, where when you talk to them, they're like, well, I got to have all those cars. I need all those cars. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is they're driving their car count so high that everybody feels overworked and overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're not focusing on ARO. Like in my shop, I only schedule 3 cars a day per tech. Mm-hmm. And you say that to a shop owner and they're like, oh, I could never do that.
Well, sure you can if you got $1,500 a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely. 72% GP. 100, absolutely. That's more
why,
than enough.
Why couldn't you?
More than enough.
You know, one of the guys that I referred over to Cecil a while back, his name's Jeremy and he owns a shop near me. Mm-hmm. And when we first started talking, Jeremy says, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. This really sucks. Mm-hmm. This is hard. And so I'm like, well, what's your ARO? And he's like, oh, it's like $135. I'm like, whoa, hold on now.
How about a hot dog stand, son?
Right? And so we're talking and we're going back and forth. And I'm like, well, what's your effective labor rate? He's like, it's $48.50. And I said, hold up. How many cars are you taking? And they were taking like 10 or 15 cars a day with 3 techs. And he's like, well, they all have to go today. So I can't tell them about anything else or I'm going to overload the shop.
Bingo.
And I'm like, hang on just a minute.
Yeah.
Like, let's think this through. And the problem is that as us being in the industry, mm-hmm. we see the problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of the people who are running shops have never worked in a shop or been responsible for scheduling a shop in an efficient and a productive way. And they just don't know.
They don't get it. They can't see the forest because of the trees, right?
Yeah.
So I teach what I call a dualistic shop mindset.
Okay.
So we've got the yin and the yang. And I love that I gave this to the entire audience today is if you're a single shop owner, but you secretly desire to be an MSO, mm-hmm. I want to have 2.
Right.
I said, I just gave you 2. Your first shop is your investigative facility. Yep. That investigative facility, we schedule, you know, 3 cars a day per technician for investigative. So we're going to do a diagnosis and inspection. Every car gets an inspection. No excuses. Fight me. And then we're going to do that 2 to 3 times per technician. And then once all of the information that we've acquired from there with the inspection or with the diagnosis is turned into the advisor so they can begin the process of estimating sourcing.
Lucas and I have been telling you about Parts Tech for a while now and how it gives you access to unlimited parts and tire vendors and direct integration with over 35 shop management systems. And now they've just launched a new referral program. All you have to do is open your Parts Tech account, go to My Shop, and click on the Rewards tab. There you'll find your referral URL, which you can share via email, text message, or on your social media. If your referral signs up for a new account and places 5 orders in the first 30 days, Parts Tech will send you a $100 gift card. That's it. Nothing else is needed. Your referrals can get you $100 just for using Parts Tech, which, by the way, is absolutely free to get started with. So if you're using Parts Tech already, start sharing that referral link. And if you haven't signed up for Parts Tech yet, what are you waiting for? Click on the link in the description or go to partstech.com/podcast. That's partstech.com/podcast.
Hey, one more thing. If you find out that your shop management system doesn't integrate with Parts Tech, it's time to upgrade. David and I use what we believe to be the very best system on the market, Shopware. With unmatched features like Parts GP Optimizer and DVX, which is their digital vehicle experience, Shopware really is way more than just a shop management software. With it, you'll be able to create an immersive and interactive experience for your client, setting you apart from everyone else using run-of-the-mill software. Are you ready to upgrade? Click the link in the show notes to get started.
In parts and selling, what we do is we allow him to retool once, and he changes from a brain surgeon working at high level, right?
Yeah.
Working on the multi-network systems, and he shuts that part of his brain off, and he turns into a mechanical specialist, and he turns wrenches, and we leave him alone. And I schedule what he's doing in the shop. You see, we're real good about being a dentist. We have an appointment book, and I've got 6 appointments today. But what about all the stuff that we've been waiting for parts for, and it's a 6-hour job, and we could schedule that, but no, we just, again, seat of our pants on the production side. So you've got an investigative facility and a production facility, and they work harmoniously under one roof, but they don't intermingle.
Yeah,
that model right there I have found to be ridiculously successful. It keeps technicians productive.
Yeah.
It allows the advisors to promise or to sell with great confidence.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, who matters the most are our guests.
Yeah.
And they receive an experience that is unlike any other shop.
Well, that's a really important point. How many shops and how many consumers do you hear from that are pissed off that they've taken their car to a shop and it was a week later before they got it back? And in some cases, that's reasonable, right? I'm not saying it's not reasonable. It's just that the number of people that we talk to, and you know, I talk all the time to local consumers around me.
Sure.
And they're like, well, they told me it'd be 2 weeks before they could look at it. Mm-hmm. And then they said that, well, 2 weeks before they can look at it. And then they look at it and they can't tell me when they're going to fix it. They just told me what was wrong with it and that they ordered the parts, right? Yeah. And, you know, in my shop, the way that we do it is we order the parts and we put that vehicle back on the schedule for the day that the parts are supposed to come in. Not that day, but the following day.
Yep.
So we can say, hey, these are the right parts. We've got everything we need. We can call the client and inform the client and talk about kind of what that process looks like.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that we've got in our heads or a mindset in this industry that the consumer wants the car back really quickly. They have this idea of I need it today, and some consumers definitely need that, but it's our job to set that expectation with the consumer.
Yeah.
It's our job of saying we can or we cannot do this.
Yep.
This is what this looks like. This is how long it should take.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we miss that all too often.
Yeah. I told the audience this morning, said I've been doing this a long time. I remember the days when I could order parts for a vehicle from 3 different vendors and at the same time.
Yeah.
And there was a race. And whoever got there first, I would keep those. And the other two, I would just say, well, return, never mind, order canceled. And that's a terrible way to do business. And I tell people, don't do that to your vendors. But it harkens back to a time when same-day service was available.
Yeah.
Cars were less complicated. Parts were available in mass. And it was really easy to do that. And the thing that I stand on is that our world has changed. Get over it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Speed of service is not actually what we hang our hat on anymore. You can't, because there's so many factors involved where you're understaffed, I got a parts chain issue. We don't do that. Now, do we delay? Do we go, well, we'll get around to it? No, you don't do that either. You've got to manage the work that you sell. I get that. But COVID has basically normalized the wait for us.
Yeah.
We're 4 years out. And the wait for this product or this part or this service anywhere in America, yep, it's just the way it is. So what I really push my shops towards is have an immediacy in acknowledging and if possible answers. And from there, we have a very, very clear cut methodology on when it will be done. And so I'm going to do my very best to bring you on a day when I have a technician who has a block in his schedule to do an hour and a half worth of tests and procedures. Yeah. I will get you answers. I will be able to get you a number. And then I can tell you the availability of the parts, and my shop may not be available until Thursday next week. I can have parts tomorrow. That doesn't matter. I will be able to put it on my production schedule next week, have you done by, say, Friday, Monday. And it's a very clear-cut way to operate where there's no confusion.
No.
And customers are okay with that. Where we go wrong is I can't look at it for 2 weeks.
That's you're going to lose that client.
That's not going to work for me. He's going to go down the road. But what I can do is I will give you immediate attention. A lot of shops will do like a 15-minute free no wrench, right? Just an acknowledgement of, hey, there's a code. Let's pop the hood. Let's see if there's anything obvious and honor that. We have to honor our guests.
Yeah.
And then from there, I would say the overwhelming majority can conform to today's reality that I'm not going to have it fixed tomorrow.
Right. Well, you know, how many shops are we seeing? And they post in the group all too often. With this kind of yes mentality, right? And it's say yes, get them in the door, and then we'll figure it out, right? And that, I don't think that's fair to the client.
No, it's not. Let me ask you something. Let's just say that you've got, what's your favorite restaurant, by the way?
Water's Edge in Pennsylvania, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably close to the best.
Seafood, right?
No. It's a, what would you call that?
Oh, food.
It's a
well. There we are. It's a culinary expert, guys.
Yeah, it's a fairly nice kind of high end. Okay, so
we're talking pinkies out, kind of a nice place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay, for sure.
So imagine you called and you said, "Hey, do you have room?" And they answered with, "Is now a good time? Come on down." And you did, and you got there, and there was just this crowd. Yes. And you look in the restaurant, and every seat is full. And they said, "Yeah, come on in." And they walked you to a table that was full of people. And they said, "Excuse me, sir, this is Lucas Underwood. He's going to actually sit on your lap. Are you okay? Can you scoot back a little bit?" And we're sitting people on people's laps.
Yeah.
That gets really awkward.
It does.
Yeah, Lucas would enjoy that.
He might. And that, again, let's just leave that one off the record. But that's what we do with the come on down mentality. Is you stress your team.
Yeah.
And here's one of the things that it blows my mind. And I was a technician for years. Mm-hmm. Is, "Hey, we got someone out here. I need you to check this. I need you to do this real quick." And I'm mid-stroke in a timing chain job.
Yeah.
And you want me to retool, clean up, come out, start thinking high level.
Yeah.
Right. And why do we have so many misdiagnoses? Right?
Yeah. Why, parts left loose.
Why do I have technicians quitting? Because there's the chaos in the shop.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how to schedule.
No.
We just don't.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been in a class where that concept was being taught, right? Mm-hmm. And they were telling this story about a service advisor, and the owner of the shop had come into the shop, mm-hmm. and they were teaching the class, and they said, they came into the shop and they saw that a client had walked in. It's 4:00 in the afternoon. And the service advisor says, "I'm sorry, sir, I can't get you in for an oil change today, but I'm happy to make you an appointment." Mm-hmm. This owner terminated the service advisor.
Yep, I've seen him.
Went outside, told the man, gave him a coupon and said, "Hey, if you ever want your oil changed, you come back. I'll pay for it. I'll cover it. I'm really sorry. We'll get you in right now."
Yeah.
Now, the service advisor's point was, mm-hmm. is the shop is full. And we're working on getting the work that's in the shop out.
Yeah.
We have a full schedule tomorrow. How can I fit this person in at 4:00 in the afternoon? And she says, "Well, you don't worry about it. You get them in, you find one thing wrong with the car and get them to leave it." Okay. And that doesn't feel very nice to me.
I don't think that makes Jesus happy.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
To say that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what that points towards is a lack of understanding in what you do for a living. That's a transactional mindset, and it says that at any cost, I will at least get you in the shop. So back to the restaurant analogy, as that restaurant owner, knowing that my staff is limited, my seats are limited, there's only so much food in the kitchen, and I only have so many cooks. I want you to come to my restaurant that I've poured my heart and soul into and have the most amazing meal, the most attentive experience, right? That your server is going to be there at your beck and call, listen intently to your conversations, cater to your needs, and really just wow you, blow your mind. That's what I want for you. If I can't deliver that, now I have this scale. I have to put on one side, I tell you that I don't have room. Or on the other side, I give you this half-assed service.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be great, but at least I got you in. I would rather you not be able to get in today.
Yeah.
Maybe go somewhere else and eat Taco Bell. But when you do come back, which you will, I can wow you. We reduce ourselves to a transactional business when we do that.
Yeah.
It's not fair to the client. And I tell you what, if that's the way you run business, you might think about opening a hot dog stand.
Yeah. I'm not in disagreement. And I replied to someone asking about a quote for an article this morning. And we were talking a little bit about the technician shortage. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't think that we have a technician shortage. I think we have a skilled trade shortage.
Oh, 100%.
As a whole.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I don't think it is just a North America thing. I think it's a global thing. Yeah. And I think that the problem's much bigger than what a bunch of technicians and shop owners sitting around a table can solve. But I will say this, that while we have a shortage of folks coming in, mm-hmm. we also have got to maintain the folks we have now. And we have to make sure we have the culture and the environment that keeps them and is fair to them.
Yeah.
And if we build systems, it doesn't matter how much money you pay somebody. If work is miserable, right? And yeah. the I made a TikTok the other day talking about this, and I was talking about, look at Chick-fil-A and look at McDonald's, mm-hmm. right? Everybody says, well, I'll just go work fast food. You can make just as much money working fast food. Okay, great. Well, let's think about this for a minute. If it's just about money, you look at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. McDonald's and Chick-fil-A pay pretty much the same mm-hmm. wages. They have the same benefit packages, the whole nine yards. I don't know if you've been in a McDonald's lately.
Not lately.
McDonald's sucks.
Always right? Has. Yeah.
Quality sucks.
Yeah.
The time it takes to get a cheeseburger is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Chances are there's no consistency from cheeseburger to cheeseburger.
100%.
And everybody there is pissed off.
Yep.
Yet you go to Chick-fil-A, it's a completely different environment. The place is full of employees. It's like they don't even have anywhere else to stack employees.
Time out. I hate this analogy. And TikToks are stupid. McDonald's will put a McDonald's everywhere. Everywhere.
Okay.
Okay. You go into the affluent areas. And the McDonald's, there are nice. Now
we have a nice McDonald's, but they can't find any staff.
They have eliminated the cashier, and now it's a touch screen.
Yeah,
but they've updated the inside. It looks nice. It's fancy. It's whatever. And down the street there might be a Chick-fil-A. But guess what? They pay the same, and the same. Yeah, like they don't say sure or no problem. They say my pleasure, whatever. Okay, who cares? I'm saying though. The food is just as crappy at both ends. Like the fries are always the same. The burgers are the same. It's now if you go into a rougher neighborhood, the neighborhood's rough and there's bars on the windows. Like, yeah, you're probably not going to have that great of a, it's still going to be McDonald's, but it's going to be a crappy McDonald's. That's more a reflection of the neighborhood than
I'm the just
culture.
Saying, I'm just saying, go to a McDonald's they're and a Chick-fil-A that are next to each other.
They're individually ran.
Well, I understand that. I'm just saying, go find one of these restaurants that's right next to each other.
And if McDonald's put as much MSG as Chick-fil-A puts into their chicken.
You just hate Chick-fil-A.
Into their burgers. I didn't say anything about me hating it. I'm just saying, you put as much MSG as Chick-fil-A puts into their chicken, MSG.
Can you on air say that you don't dislike Chick-fil-A?
That's good. It's okay.
No, I didn't ask you that. I said, can you say that you don't dislike Chick-fil-A?
I don't dislike.
Okay.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A.
So
my kids just ate there the other day. But I'm just saying they're little packs of MSG.
God's chicken, David.
It is not God's chicken. Let's not get into that. No, I'm just saying they're little packs of MSG, and MSG is like crack. And so, yeah, there's a reason why there's a line down because they're handing you, here's your MSG. Enjoy.
Well, actually, I might disagree just a little bit here. So in my neck of the woods, we've got both. And here's the deal. On occasion, I have a 6-year-old daughter. On occasion, we do a daddy daughter breakfast, and she likes to have what she calls a pancake sandwich.
Right.
And we can get that from the Big Yellow M, and we'll swing through and grab that. And it's just simply a transaction. But when we go to Chick-fil-A and I pull in the drive-through, there's one, two, three, or four people in the drive-through acknowledging me, coming to take my order, acknowledging by name. They'll ask me my name first and then help me with the menu. I'm kind of a moron looking at the screen. I don't know. You have chicken here. What do you got? And they'll walk me through it. And I get up front and they say, Mr. White or Clint, here you go. Here's your order. Yeah. And then they say, you know, my pleasure, which to be honest with you, that does make me feel weird when I've got a 16-year-old girl saying pleasure. And it's just weird to me and I don't like it. But they're about the experience.
Yeah.
Food aside, right? Whether you like the food or not, MSG or not, food aside, McDonald's has a touchscreen. They have removed the human.
Yeah.
And there are actually facilities.
Hey, everyone, it's Lucas. I'm sorry to jump in, but I thought it was important to come and say this. You know, I'm often asked, why do we always talk about Kim and Brian Walker and Shop Marketing Pros on the show? It's because we genuinely believe in their product. Why do I use them for my own marketing? In fact, they're building me a new website right now. It's not cookie cutter. I kept getting on Facebook and every shop looked the exact same. I didn't want to be that. And it's not just that. It's that they're part of your team. When you hire them to do your marketing, they get to know you. They know what you believe. They know what you say and they know why you do what you do. And they share that with your clients. That's huge. And beyond all of that, probably the most important factor in all of this is they stand behind their work. So don't wait. Go today and get your free marketing analysis from Shop Marketing Pros. They're genuinely our friends and they're genuinely here to help shop owners have a better life. Click on the link in the show notes for your free marketing analysis today. That's right. It's free. Doesn't cost you a dime.
To where they have removed all the humans and the food comes out on a conveyor belt after you've done the touchscreen. That is actually in beta right now in a couple different cities.
Oh, I'd be down for that.
And
I don't even have to talk to anybody.
Nobody.
That's freaking awesome.
It's just a transaction. So I believe
this is a personality thing.
You might enjoy that.
You just said, I love people. I can tell you unequivocally.
You hate people.
That is absurd.
You know you're going to hell, right?
Here's the problem. I just want to kind of map this out here. I for a living, okay, sit down and I estimate repairs. Okay, this is what I do. Yeah. All right. I don't really own a shop. Like, that's not a job. My job is to sit down and to estimate repairs. I do sometimes a handful. Sometimes I do dozens. But by the end of the month, I have done hundreds. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right. I know what things cost. Yeah. I know what that repair should cost. When somebody comes back to me and says, that sounds like it's too expensive. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Customer. Do you do this all day long? Do you know what these things cost? Do you know what the going rate is for all this? Do you know what that part should cost? Do you know the amount of human labor that has to go into this particular job? Do you know the intricacies? Do you know the service information I need to have in order for me to do this so you don't come back complaining that it's not done right? Do you know any of this? You don't? So you have no idea what goes into this price that I just gave you. This is a fair exchange for what I'm offering. Let me tell you, it's more than fair. But you somehow think it's not. Now, I could break down the psychology and go, well, let's just talk about this. I haven't transferred enough value to you. BS. You want to pay less. You have no idea. You're talking straight out of your rectum. It's just something you say. What? Just like when they call up the phone and they're like, hey, how much to do? They're just saying that they don't know what else to ask. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But when I give you the price and you tell me it's too much, I want to reach through that phone and strangle the life out of you because I cannot believe you just insulted me. Yeah. You just insulted me. Now.
Oh, you should look into Chick-fil-A. It's less stress.
Yeah.
It's not more stress.
Prices are set.
Prices are not set from area to area. One and two.
Just
somebody comes up to me and says, that's a lot for a chicken sandwich. I will jump through that car window and strangle the guy.
Wow.
I'm telling you, you sit here and you listen to this and you just,
let me tell you, this is pretty sophisticated job. And then we have a 3-year, 36,000 mile nationwide warranty.
And I got to go through all that spiel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do that over and over and over and over and over again. You no longer. You're like, you know what? I mildly tolerate people only because I can't go live in a cabin. I've got a family at this point, right? But let me tell you, if I were 43 years old and single, I'd be living in a cabin right now, and I wouldn't be sitting here next to you, yahoos. I'm just saying, I would be rid of all of it because it is patently absurd that I have to justify myself to people that don't know what they're talking about.
Is this the end? This...
No. This is just the precursor to the middle of the end. He brings up valid points. What do you think about that?
So what do I think about when people push back on price?
No, this isn't pushing back. This is specifically, this is like me, you sitting down, you're talking about schedule, and I go, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, like, whoa, hold on now. It's not like I don't know, put this into other shops, have seen it be successful, have thought through this entire process all the way through, have maybe tweaked it 1,000 times over because, you know, I didn't just start doing this yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, you hear it one time, and you're like, oh, okay, let's have a conversation. Okay. Hear it 1,000 times, and that 1,001st time that you have to sit there and go through the whole spiel, your eyes are going to start twitching.
Yeah,
it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing, and it takes the right person doing that particular job. They have to be passionate about it, and I've seen people that have your level of frustration, and then some that have been doing this a long time. They're burnt out. They're done. And there's other people that do this.
Is he calling me a burnout? He's saying I'm burnt out.
I'm just burnt out. I mean, at this point.
I'm not frustrated, dear. No, I'm not. No. I am insulted.
Yeah.
I am insulted. They have insulted.
He's easily insulted. He's okay. Very easily. Hey, you know, I don't know how he got here from talking.
It's like walking up to Picasso and saying, why are your faces crooked? The faces that you're painted, why are they crooked?
But I'm sure they did. Right? Sure. I'm sure somebody said that.
Yeah.
You know what? And probably the first time he heard it and goes, well, you know, it's my choice.
Picasso didn't
by you Was he the one that? No, that was Van Gogh. Hey, why are your stars so twirly? There, it's just, it looks like swirls. Uh huh. Okay, well, that, you know, that was my vision. Okay. That was my vision. I put it on canvas. Some people are going to enjoy it. Some people are not. That 1,001st time somebody comes up and goes, why are they squirrely? You know what he did? He chopped his ear off. So what's going to happen? It sounds like I'm going to chop my ear off.
Yeah, what's different about those people?
Chick-fil-A is trash is what I'm telling you. Popeyes is better. Here's how I know. I'm just telling you, you cannot dispute this. I have never heard of somebody getting shot in a Chick-fil-A parking lot because they ran out of chicken.
That's because of the neighborhoods that they'll put Popeyes in. And I couldn't tell you, I've never eaten at a Popeyes.
It's not a neighborhood thing.
Oh, yeah.
The chicken's just that good.
Popeyes is straight ghetto, bro. I've been all over this country, and I can tell you, there is no affluent Popeyes. Doesn't happen. Deal with it.
I will drive you down. First off, there's a Popeyes right around the street from my house. So you just said I lived in a ghetto.
100%.
SG maybe lived in a good neighborhood because we left equipment in the back of his car. He's like, yeah. I live in a good neighborhood, I hope. No.
If it has a Popeyes, lock your car. In fact, take everything out. Leave the doors open.
They just built a brand new Popeyes.
It won't last. It'll get bars on the window. It's okay.
The neighborhood's going run is getting ran down because we had a Popeyes put in. But here's the reality. This is the truth of the matter. All these Californians moved into my neighborhood, and all of a sudden, not Shopware. They're lovely people. But everybody else, they decided they were going to leave their tent cities and move to Kansas City. And then there's a Popeyes. Now I can't leave my equipment in my car.
It's a sad existence, brother. It really is.
To your point.
I didn't see your TikTok because I'm not on TikTok. But had I been on TikTok watching your stupid TikTok about Chick-fil-A, I would have been in that comment section calling you an idiot.
You're always in the comment section calling me an idiot. I'm kind of used to that. Interestingly,
just not on TikTok.
It's like Einstein, right? If you know anything about Einstein. Yeah. Einstein, they knew he was brilliant and he was exceptionally famous when he was alive. But nobody realized truly how smart Einstein was until he was dead, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And that's just the way life works. Well, Van Gogh, nobody realized how epic his paintings were.
What are you talking about? He was famous then.
He was, but not to the degree he is now.
I'm just saying that he had to justify the swirls, and he chopped his ear off. It just drove him mad. I'm guessing. I don't really know the story behind it.
Listen, things that drove you mad must have happened long, long, long ago, because it's been a long trip, okay? You've been mad for as long as I've known you. I don't think it has anything to do with auto repair.
To automotive repair.
I think that's
me saying my pleasure when they say, thank you, my pleasure.
My point is that they have a different culture and a different environment within the organization.
Yeah.
And so people would rather work for that organization when there's a McDonald's right down the street.
Well, 100%. You've got the culture. You have the environment. You have their level of training.
Yeah.
Again, like all seriousness, like, you know, food aside and MSG aside and all the things, I actually have a very close personal, friends of my 19-year-old daughter that worked there, chose to work there because of that culture. And I'll go one step further here. Why don't we just go ahead and pee on the Wheaties, right? What day are they closed?
Sunday.
Doesn't matter, but they're closed because they may have a philosophy company wide that honors a religious reason, but they're also honoring their staff. They value their staff to the point where they don't want to overwork them, overburden them, and they want to give them a better experience outside of their work day by giving them more time. And that same, I draw that back into our shops where I've got shops that are open 7 days a week, 6 days a week. We're going to be split shifts. We're working 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. and you realize what you're doing. You're taking a very limited resource that we have, right? Yeah. Our workforce within our industry, and you're destroying them. You're overworking them, and they're going to leave. We're seeing them leave en masse right now. And I think it's important that we take those markers and cues from others outside of our industry. Say we've got to honor the family. We've got to honor the individual. We have to make sure that what we do and how we do business not only satisfies the need for the experience for a client, but also satisfies the need for the experience for those that we employ.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but what's the name of that shop? It's that place in Houston, those shops.
It's Adams Automotive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they open up a shop across the street from yours.
Yeah.
And you're talking about honoring and yada, yada. And they're all, hey, we're open Monday or 7 days a week, seven to seven. Yep. We're going working split shifts. Yep. I'm going to pay every single one of your guys another $10 an hour flat rate on top of what you're paying them right now. Yep. And all of you, and I'm going to flood your entire market with cheapy oil changes because, and free diagnostics, by the way, because that's what they give away. So we're going to do that.
Yeah.
They're going to take 20, 30, 40% of your business.
They're going to increase my business. I would be 100% with them moving it across the street from my shop, 100%.
They may, it may come back.
It might come back.
Yeah. Okay, but they come in to your market. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, this is legit experience here. I'm working at a parts store. I had a competitor come across, and they expected 25 to 40% loss because there's just one extra choice in town. There's a small town in the middle of nowhere, and you only had so many choices, and all of a sudden, there's a big retailer that comes into town right across the street from you, and they're like, hey, 25 to 40% of your business is going to be gone. Did you have to fight tooth and nail to try to keep as much business as you could? Absolutely. You sort of relied on them maybe not hiring the best people, maybe not finding, maybe their inventory mix isn't right and mine is because I've been here for 20 years. You were looking on for anything to try to hang on to the business that you could.
Yeah.
But did they take 25% of the business? Yeah, retail. I kept the installer side. But the retail business, because people are fickle. They're fickle.
They are definitely fickle. And I think it points back towards... Is there a weakness in what you do? Is there a weakness in your model? Yeah. I love trying times. I love, like Ed Milet said this morning, the pain.
Yeah.
I look forward to the pain. Human nature says we avoid pain at all costs. I don't agree with that. I absolutely don't agree with that. I enjoy when things happen like, well, wait a second. Somebody else was across the street. Hold my beer. Come on, let's go. And if I did lose 25% of my business, and that's when I'm going to look introspectively and see how can I do better, not boo-hoo I lost. It's okay. This is an opportunity for me to grow as a business owner. Did I not offer a culture and an environment that was so ridiculously healthy that $10 an hour doesn't matter? Because people don't quit bad jobs. They quit bad culture. And I can tell you that I can pay you more because we're a high volume shop. But at the end of the day, when you're done being utilized and your toothpaste roll is empty, they'll move on because you're a number and that's transactionalism. But we as humans, we sniff that out.
At the same time, though, there are some people that don't care.
That's okay.
And you may not know that about your staff.
That's okay.
You may have great people working for you and you didn't know that. Deep down inside, that person really just wanted that $10 an hour and didn't care that they were going to work Saturday and Sunday and they were going to work evening shift and that's just the way it was. And they're like, yeah, but I'm getting $10 more an hour. And you're like, I've been building this whole thing and you come to the house for family dinners and we go to the timeshare and we cook out and we have all this shtick. You just wanted $10 more an hour? Yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't know. So now you know.
Now you know. That's how we
grow. It turns out 25 to 30% of your customers also didn't care about any of the crap that you were offering.
Of course.
They wanted the conveyor belt touchscreen experience.
Good. And I'm glad that shop is now across the street from me to handle that for me. We've got to get off the high horse of worshiping at the altar of car count, right?
Yeah.
There is more than enough business in this continent to go around. We could double our shops right now and be busy. So I'm okay with, I love competition.
And some of those shops that are doing that, they tout really massive numbers. But if you really think about it, if you were going to be open that many hours and you were open that many days, hold on now. Those numbers don't exactly line up with your labor rate and standard metrics. So I don't know that those shops are making as much money as they
I think they're doing just fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing just fine. I'm not saying that.
I've personally been in, I don't know how far this is going to go, but I've personally been in the originating shop of that model. Mm-hmm. Can I say that without mentioning any names?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I've been in it. I spent 3 days in that shop. Yeah. And I watched that model work. It's a phenomenal model, by the way.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. The challenge is that when you come back to Everywhere Else America, I don't have three people to jump on one car every single minute of every single day. Go, 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 go. If I had that staff, I would probably do that model because it does work. It is very profitable.
Yeah.
And you can do it in a manner that doesn't burn out your team. You can do it in a manner that's healthy and culture is good. It's an anomaly.
And you need a tremendous amount of volume.
You have to have ridiculous volume. Whereas I'm going to take three cars a day per technician and I'm going to cater to their needs. I'm going to get to know them personally. I'm going to follow up with them personally. I'm going to love on people because it's people that grow my business. And I tell you what, the rest of it, I don't need it. It's okay. I don't need every customer.
So often, one of the things that I have seen and heard coaches talk about is that we want to give the client what they want. We want to serve them at the level that they want to be served at. Mm-hmm. We want to provide them the service that they want. Well, part of me says, well, we're professionals, right? Yeah. And so I liken it to the doctor situation. Mm-hmm. Your doctor's not supposed to tell you necessarily what you want to hear. They're going to have to give you some bad news from time to time.
Yeah.
It's not their job to tell you what you want to hear. It's their job to provide the perfect experience you want. How do you liken that to the automotive space?
So you got half the equation, right? You give them what they want. Absolutely. I mean, within the bounds of morality. Yeah, you give them what they want. We should do that in any business, anywhere in America. Give them what they want. Sell them what they need. Yeah. Challenge is, and this is what keeps me busy all week long, is I have a limitless supply of shops in this country where nobody has been taught to properly, ethically, correctly sell. It's not just a script. It's a state of mind. You have to find the right person to fill that void. There are people that I truly believe were born and created to influence the decisions of others in a correct and ethical manner. They thrive for that challenge. It's delayed gratification is what it is. That's what sales is. It's a struggle. It's a fight. I've got to find the parts. I've got to call the customer. I have to make sure that I'm addressing them in a personalized manner and make sure that they understand everything. And I know that this is going to be somewhat of a conflict. It's healthy conflict, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. But at the end of the day, I thrive in the win. And it's not about the money. It's about the challenge. It's about the journey, not the destination. You find people like that and you put them in the sales seat in your shops. They are the ones that are going to take your shops to the next level. But they've got to be
one that sounds exhausting. That sounds exhausting.
Right. And it doesn't sound like two, it's for you.
It's you're right. The problem is finding those people that also aren't skis bags.
Yeah, and absolutely.
We're talking about the tail end of the bell curve now. And so I've got to ignore 84% of everybody that applies to this job, assuming they even meet that qualification. You're talking about, you know, high I, high D.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to come in with those personality traits.
Yeah.
One. So everybody else, you come in with a high C, high S, you're gone. So I've got this particular personality trait, dominant personality trait, and then I've got to find the ones that aren't skis bags. You're talking about, you know, one or two standard deviations on that bell curve. Man, that's really difficult. And if you yourself are not one.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you multiply evil. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's not even that. Well, hold on. I'm not saying that you yourself might be. I'm saying that you yourself might not be that personality trait. Maybe you're a high C.
Yeah.
And you're a high C or maybe a high S or something like that, and you're middle to low D, and the selling process for you is almost like, here, let me show you, do what you want. Mm-hmm. And that challenge that, hey, this is that I'm going to, because I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Intellectually, mentally, I understand what you're saying, but I can do it once and then I'm done.
Yeah.
And I can't do it more than
one. You would definitely not be on my list of consideration
for
a service advisor. That's okay.
I have to find somebody like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? The majority. But
you're talking about a tiny sliver of humans.
I disagree. No, I disagree.
Oh, man.
Because here's the challenge right now. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. You are hyper-focused. You've got tunnel vision looking for those people inside of our industry. because
no.
It is very hard to find them in. But yeah. I can tell you what, I have a whole troop I call them my soccer moms. I've got moms in their early 40s. Kids are in high school or beyond. They've not worked in, well, ever, some of them. And they love people. And they've built these skills of communication and handling stress and being able to, again, solve problems. And they thrive in that. They know nothing about cars. And I can take them and put them in their seat and with the proper training and the proper tooling inside your shop, which means you got a DVI that doesn't suck. I can take that individual and make her a rock star service advisor. I have done it many times. I've got a number of them right now currently on my training rolls. And they have a level of integrity that makes me look very evil. They are amazing individuals. And so they're not schmucks. They're not skis bags.
Every single time I've ever gone down that path, they're great right up until the moment they get questioned. Mm-hmm. And then they split off into, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know that they questioned me
it's a lack of training.
Or they go down the other path of, I bet they wouldn't question a man. They're going to question me because I'm a woman. Yep. And they go one of those two down to those two paths. And you're like, okay.
Well, I mean, you look at Jade, right? Jade is phenomenal. And I don't need to be on the front counter, right? Mm. I'm terrible on the front. And I think most business owners are terrible on the front counter. You just shouldn't be doing it. I'm too nice. David gives them the dad voice and yells at them. I mean, it's just, it's terrible. We're terrible yeah. service advisors. And I can be proficient, but I get emotional about that client experience and want to give them everything they want. And
you give away the farm.
Yeah, often cost myself a
boot. And free tickets to Mystery Hill, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Everything.
Well, how'd you know? I'm feeling a little personally attacked now. Give everybody free tickets.
I want tickets to Mystery Hill. Come on now.
Well, of course you get tickets to Mystery Hill, but now I'm kind of feeling like, damn, he knows my tricks.
It's marketing, brother. It's okay.
All those waiters?
It's a tchotchke.
They're not waiters.
I want you to head that way.
You go. It's right
Holy
there.
Holy moly. Yeah. I never thought of that.
It works so good.
Yeah.
All this time I've known you, I never thought of it. Like, hey, while you're waiting, here's some tickets to Mystery Hill.
Yeah. Go check it out. Absolutely. Yeah.
It works very well.
You'll be out in a couple hours. Yeah. We'll have your car done.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It works very well. But I don't need to be on the front counter because of it, because I give away the farm. It's awful. But I mean, he's right. Look at Jade. Jade is, dude, she is phenomenal on the front counter. She does a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's next level. And she didn't come from automotive.
Some of my best advisors actually don't come from automotive. And I consider, this isn't a horn tooting thing or a patting a back thing. I consider myself what's called a unicorn. I'm an ASC certified master technician. I got 30 years in the industry. I shouldn't be on the counter because I have the curse of knowledge. I'm just going to tell you everything about your car. Yeah. We don't need to diagnose that. Let's just go ahead and put a fuel pump in. I don't know exactly what's wrong. That's the normal with the really high level educated individual. But there are people within our industry that can do a great job. But I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of advisors now. And I can tell you that the ones that succeed, the ones that I think offer the best experience to our clients are the ones that come from either peripheral, so let's say parts industry, or not in our industry. And that's when I coach shop owners, and like, you would hire soccer mom? You would hire the driver from, you know, O'Reilly's? Yeah. Absolutely. Look at her personality. Look
who's questioning you on that.
I get shop owners that question that. Well, they don't know cars. They can't sell. You don't need to know cars. And that's, again, it goes back to a lack of communication.
Who are you talking to?
I'm not going to say names. That would be embarrassing. No, they're probably on Facebook right now leaving bad comments.
Are they on Facebook? I don't think they're on Facebook. I don't think they know what social media is. You want to know how I know like this whole thing is absurd? You need another Jade. Find you one.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. Okay. Because we just talked about this.
Exactly.
It's
not that easy. He found a Jade. Great. Now duplicate her. There aren't any. There's only one. There's only one in your area. You got lucky. Congratulations.
So he
got
lucky too.
He's a Clint. Like, yeah, like you found someone because you are the way you are. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I know how to recognize that somebody.
I do.
Look, I just.
I do.
My point is, I'm not that way.
I know. I just got an application.
So I'm not going to be able to recognize that in somebody.
Are you a shop owner? Are you in charge of hiring? Are you coaching? No, it's okay.
I am a shop owner.
You are a shop owner.
This is adorable.
Yes, I have employees.
Oh my gosh.
I have a shop running right now. I have to find somebody that can do those things.
He needs help.
No shit.
Oh my gosh.
I hate to tell you, I don't think
he
needs a type of help we don't offer.
He's a very angry man. You should definitely not be on the counter.
I completely eliminated the whole thing. I just send him links. Use your text link.
Hey,
look at your DBI.
I have found somebody that's very much like Jade. They're bilingual. They're really awesome. They're really good with clients. Would have to move from Kansas City, but you know, all I got to do is just convince him to come on in.
No, you would not make it with Juan, because the first time he dad voices one of your customers, you'd go,
yeah, what? Miss customer, what? Did you talk to Juan? What did he say?
You would melt. Where I enjoy it, I listen to it. Yeah, got put in his place, didn't he?
And then 2 weeks from now, he calls me. He's like, hey, it's really slow here. I don't have any cars to work on.
Well, that does happen.
It's all part of the fun.
And I think the customers would run off. You know, I do pitch them with the hey, I don't have 45 people standing around waiting to jump on every car that comes in the door.
Yeah.
So you need to drop your car off, ma'am. And they're like, oh, okay.
I don't tell my customers what they need to do. I tell my customers what I have to offer, and I offer only the best.
Well, no. I mean, it's in the context of if you want us to touch your car, this is how it's going to go. Mm. And that's what I tell them. I say it just like that. I was like, I'm sorry. Those giant dealerships that have 45 people standing out front, I'm a small shop. We have 4 employees here and myself, and I don't work here very often. So if you'd like us to take a look at your car, you're going to have to drop it off. And they go, oh, okay. I'll call you back.
Do they call back?
Sometimes.
The professor of hospitality management for App State, he was in the other day, and we were talking about that. We were talking about how a lot of the skills that they teach in hospitality management mm-hmm. are just extremely important for what we do.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And I've seen a lot of people bring in somebody from a hotel front desk like crazy and have very good luck. I think what made Jade so successful mm-hmm. is because she was used to giving way worse news than what we give, right? So, for instance, you tell somebody they have a 6,000
as a vet.
I was going to say she's
an office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
And look, I figured this out. You can tell them that their parent is dying and they care less than they do if you tell them their dog is dying, right? They really love their dogs.
Sure.
And so like you're talking about giving them a $6,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 estimate for a CAT scan or an MRI and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And to Jade, it's like, well, $6,000. Okay. To fix your car. That sounds reasonable.
Yeah. She's already been pre-trained. She's already been pre-conditioned to not sell with her wallet. And she understands that.
Yeah. She just calls them up and says, here it is.
No big deal. Easy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Find your second one.
Okay. I will.
You're not going to. You've tried. It doesn't work out well. It hasn't.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you, when you do find somebody you think is going to fit the bill, do you straight hire them or do you run them through a third party to interview them and actually to assess their character? Or do you simply make them take the DISC analysis and call that good?
I don't do any of that.
Oh, wow.
He goes off feeling.
If I feel good about it, okay. I'm like, you're hired. And okay. I throw him into the the front desk and then I leave.
Oh, okay.
And I'm probably,
like, I like what you're pitching there. Yeah. It's again, intellectually, mentally, that makes sense. Yeah. Go have them go through someone like you because you can recognize that in somebody and go, hey, this person's just like me. You will like this. There you go. A service advisor, I guess it would work. If you try to do a technician, that person is gone. Doesn't work.
I remember when I was coaching with Rick and he said that I kept like, you know, throwing my employees to the fire too soon. And I said, okay. And he said, what I mean by that is you're taking your poor employees out to the edge of the dock. Mm-hmm. You're kicking them in the back and saying, hope you can swim as you pull the ladder up off the dock mm-hmm. and watch them float away. Right.
Recipe for success.
I'm really bad for that because like, that's not what I'm good at. I'm good at doing it. Right. I'm really good at mm-hmm. doing the job.
Yeah.
But teaching how to do the job. And and I know you're a coach too, but I hired Rena to coach.
She's great.
Yeah,
she's
my advisor, and she fits really well with Jay.
Yeah, love her. Yeah,
and so like it's far more effective.
Right. So Rena also demonstrates that same character quality where she is very much in tune with the intellect and the emotion of the people that she works with.
Yeah,
and that's I think a requirement to be a coach, consultant, counselor. In fact, I have a title that I don't share often. I'm not a therapist, by the way, but I'm your reparathist. You have to be a reparathist to do what I do. You have to hear people here. And when you do that, you use your intuition and you're able to maybe fill the void where a shop owner does not have that skill set, never will have that skill set. Yeah. That's not your jam, but you find somebody like Rena, like Rick White, right? We have a plethora of options in this industry.
Yeah.
It's who, not how. How am I going to do this? I suck at it. You're not. Hire somebody to do it for you who is absolutely vetted and experienced, and the odds of success are exponentially higher.
I talked to Frank Scandura a while back, and I was talking to him. We have a mutual friend who's known Frank for many, many, many years. And I was talking to that mutual friend, and he said, you know, Frank used to be real rough around the edges. And Frank, man, over the past few years has just like got it nailed down, and he just does what it does, right? I mean, extremely successful. I was talking to Frank about that, and Frank said, you know why that is, right? I said, no. He said, I read Rocket Fuel, and he said it was an eye-opener for me. Yep. He said, I realized for years I was a visionary trying to do the job of an integrator.
Yep, 100%.
I realized that I was in here trying to do all these things, and all I was doing was the seagull manager. I was coming in. I was jumping into the shop.
Yep.
I was making a mess of things, and I was saying, hey, I want to do this. And then 2 months later, I'd come back and say, why isn't this done yet? Yep. Yep. But there was no integration to what I was talking about.
Yeah, there's no traction.
Yeah.
Also a good book, by the way.
And so that's what I'm realizing about myself is I'm a visionary, right? And I look at my... You know, I look at the family business, and both of my dad and my oldest brother are visionaries.
Yeah.
My middle brother's an integrator. I'm a visionary, right? I'm looking way out here. Mm-hmm. I'm already five steps ahead of the business when I'm out there. And so it just makes me think that we've got so many owners that are in that visionary role, right? Because otherwise, you probably wouldn't have started a shop, sure. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You would have just gone and worked for somebody or something else, right? Common. But the visionary says, I can do this. I can make all this money. I can do all this great stuff. But they don't have the skills to bring all of the little puzzle pieces together and get them lined up and glue them together and keep them there.
Yeah.
They end up distracted and going 50,000 different directions.
Is that about 50,000 different directions?
He just goes one right through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A.
No, it's Popeyes. It is Popeyes.
I'm trying not to eat fried chicken.
That fried chicken. Hey, dude, we went to a restaurant last night.
Yeah. Yeah, where'd you go?
Story.
Story in Prairie Village.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Oh, man. It was beyond pretty good. It was.
You should Wednesday check it night, out. Friday, fried chicken, Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
It's legit.
I'm down with some fried chicken. Absolutely.
It was good.
It was very good. Good choice. I hear tonight is going to be a good choice, too.
Yeah.
We have a happy hour tonight. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we do have the happy hour tonight. There's a change hour? In the industry podcast.
Yeah, I've seen the questions. Where is it?
It's in the convention center downstairs.
Downstairs. Okay, yeah. Perfect. All right.
So you're not
going to show up.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. Yeah. Me and my glowing personality, I'll be there shaking hands.
Yeah.
Trying to connect both mentally and emotionally and listening to people.
And I'll walk around and introduce you. This is my friend David. He's a shop owner.
Yes, that would be awesome. Can you make sure you tell people that he loves bear hugs?
Touchy-feely, are you now?
No, I don't like to be touched.
Oh, my gosh.
He a while back, we were at ASTE, right?
I want to learn how to like people. No, I don't want to like people. I want to know what is wrong with you.
Me? Wow.
That's pretty in depth. That's a personal question.
That's a deep accusation.
No, you admitted it yourself. You're like, I love people. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So,
why am I broken?
Enough people? I don't think you've met enough people.
Well, I meet people for a living.
Do you only get to know them in a very like superficial way?
No. I deal with people at a very in-depth level. I have a tendency to make people mad. I can definitely piss off my fair share of a crowd. You should have seen the class this morning. Nobody walked out, but I got them riled up. Absolutely.
I've taken that class. I've been in that class.
Yeah. I love
it's a good class.
I love people because I truly believe in this. And this, maybe this is, you know, a little higher level. I love people because I truly believe that's why I'm here. When you have a purpose in life, when you truly understand your call, your reason, why was I placed here on this earth in the position that I'm in? I believe it's for others. And I believe is a servant's heart. I want to serve others. I want to, you know, why am I here right now? Well, A, it's fun. I love doing this. But I'm here because I know that this is going to go forth and go forward. And although we're goofing around and being silly, at the end of the day, there's meat on the bone. Yeah. And I know that somebody's going to hear that and go, oh my gosh, I should do that. I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah.
I want to be the catalyst for change in this industry and even beyond. There's other ventures that I have in life where I reach out to those that need help. I don't give handouts. I want to give a hand up. I love people. I truly do.
The change in the industry will come as soon as the people that aren't trying go away.
Mm-hmm.
And we have fewer people buying into that, the whole like Adam shtick, because I'm not trying to pick on Adam's Automotive. They do what they do fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like 10 of them. You see what I'm saying? Like,
that is not models. A new model by any means.
No, their shtick is a little different. It's a different flavor, but that whole like, we're going to generate these huge numbers because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the revenue coming in the door. That mentality, that mm-hmm. mindset is very pervasive amongst a certain group of coaching companies mm-hmm. and consultants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that needs to be starved out. Right. And then the people that don't give a crap or that aren't trying need to go away. They need to retire.
I'll tell you, because one of the things I tell this to every single shop that reaches out to me, they either please work with me, please work with my advisors, work with my technicians, work with my team. And I say, I want to clear up one thing before moving further. I am not here to make you any more money. I say those words as a coach, like, wow, you're still in business. That's fantastic. What's wrong with you? I am not here to make anybody any more money. And then I say, open your work in progress. Okay. What's the last car that was checked in? Nancy Phillips. Okay. What's up with Nancy's car? It's misfiring. It's got a check engine light. Okay. Nancy been in before? Yeah, she's been in a couple times. What do you know about Nancy? I don't know. Do you know Nancy's situation? Do you know her life? Do you know her needs? Do you understand her desire length of ownership? Do you know anything about her at all? Yeah. Well, no, I mean, not really. I tell you what, my purpose here, you choose to hire me, is for Nancy. Because I want Nancy's car to run for as long as she wants it to run, be as comfortable and safe and reliable. I want Nancy to have an amazing experience at your shop. I want Nancy to be one of your raving fans. I'm here
Isn't
for Nancy.
That exhausting, though?
No, it's not exhausting.
It's got to be.
No, it's
it
not.
It sounds exhausting.
And I tell you, the trickle-down effect is, if you do that and you do that with the correct heart, the correct mindset, and the correct structure and process, the trickle-down effect is, will you make more money? Yep. Sorry, you're going to have more money, but I'm not here to make you more money.
It reminds me very much of my dad, right? Like what he's talking about.
You got to take care of people.
Yeah. I mean, that's how my dad has always operated.
Okay, but your dad's a people person. You're a people person. You are energized by the idea of doing what he just said. That sounds exhausting and just like, I want to be? You know who I want to be?
Yeah. Who?
You've seen Seinfeld, right?
Absolutely.
Super Nazi.
Okay, oh, so Nazi. Heck yeah.
What did he have? The best soup in the whole wide world, right? He had a line out the door.
Yeah.
You know what he didn't have to do? Any of that nonsense.
Yeah.
I have the best soup. Do you want the soup? No? And get the hell out. You know what? You don't get the soup because you didn't do the exactly how I want. You annoyed me. Go away. No soup for you. Gone.
You and Dutch are so much alike. It's not even funny.
Dutch?
Silverstein syndrome? Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah, called? That's exactly what that is.
Is that how he did it?
Twins.
So he scratched and clawed. You know what he doesn't do? Irrationally buy random old video games?
Wait,
because he doesn't know how to play them.
he
can barely turn on his computer. Do you know how many times a week he calls me to ask me how to get his TV remote to work?
His discipline with money is the only thing that I think I'm lacking, because if that's how he was able to build the business that he has, in which it was like, hey, I'm doing it like this. You like it or you don't. And if you don't, there's a door. And he was able to stay in business. Then there's hope for me.
You know, I don't know if y'all have seen, did you see the newest article in Ratchet and Richie?
You've shared it enough times that now it's annoyed me and I haven't looked at it.
Came out this morning.
No,
I've been
predisposed today.
Yeah, I asked Chris Jones as I was walking with him through the convention center earlier. I was like, hey, man, should you bring your level 3 body armor? Because you might get shot. Like, hey, you want to be careful. Dutch was pretty spicy.
He spicy?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty impressive. He just called out, like, I don't know, half of the auto repair shops in the country. That's all.
Wow.
Yeah, he was, and many of those other business practices we spoke about. Yeah, he poured gas on it, took a match, lit it, and threw it on the fire.
He doesn't like it when I say that there's no technician shortage. There's an overabundance of trash shops. He gets very upset on it.
He gets mad at me over a lot of things. I just typically smile and nod.
Smile and wave, boys.
That's right. Smile and wave.
I don't know, Clint. You're very nice, but I'm just telling you, you're exhausting. Just, you're too people person-y.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do it. I want to.
Okay.
For the sake of the customer, I want them to feel good about the experience. But if in feeling good, I have to expend mm-hmm. all of my social bandwidth, in that by the time I get home, mm-hmm. I've got nothing left for my kids and family.
Okay.
I'm done. I'm out.
So let me ask you, what do you know about embalming?
Nothing.
No?
Nothing. No.
I would truly recommend a shift into being a mortician.
I cannot ask them for the money.
No, you wouldn't have to.
I tried.
No, the front counter takes care of that. No, all you need to do is just work on dead bodies.
Like, I have to.
I think that's the perfect career right
no,
there.
No, I have to then, I've got to find somebody that can make them feel good.
No.
Be that calming hand on their back. They bring them in,
they're dead, they're cold, you do the thing, they don't like it, they never say anything.
That's not the same part.
No, okay. Mortician.
The mortician / embalmer.
Yeah. The guy in the back room.
But I'm still, the problem is I
just push the body into the furnace.
Push the body into the furnace.
That should relieve some stress for you. Doesn't matter if it was alive or not. That's not the problem. It's not the point of this.
They won't complain for long. It's fine.
I feel bad for people. I do. I feel pity on folks. And I do want to help them.
That is the answer right there. He feels pity on them. Gosh, you're such an ingrate. Idiot. You're just a stupid fool, aren't you?
No, I don't like so ingrates. Bad for you. I don't feel bad for ingrates. Ingrates can kick off. I don't care. This is why you end up giving away a lot of repairs, because you feel bad for the single mom. No. You feel bad for the guy.
I thought we were going somewhere different there.
So the grandmas, you feel bad for grandmas. The grandmas that come in and they're like, I'm so old that I'm living on a fixed income. And you're like, okay. And they've genuinely taken care of their vehicle. I've tried. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, just do the brake job. I'm like, well, they didn't pay for it. Hey, when my technicians tell me that. Because they're really telling me, like, hey, you're just losing money, right? I feel like you're not going to be able to pay me this week. And then I'm like, just shut up and do the brake job.
And then at the end of the week, David's like, hey, guys, y'all are going to have to get some work out because pay you.
It's been a long time since that's happened. It's been a long time. But I feel bad for people. But at the same time, like, I don't care about your story. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, that definitely... definitely rules you out for any sort of customer service
position. You know how long I've been doing customer service?
I would not hire you.
But he brings up a valid point, right? And that valid point is that it can be exhausting.
It is.
You're
energized by it. What are you talking about?
I am. But you know, Justin Allen is probably one of the first people that's picked up on it. Mm-hmm. Like, we go out and we do these recordings and we go to these events and we do the panels and we do all this stuff. And I can, man, I'm energized by it and I love it. But at the end of the day, when I turn off, I'm like, I'll go and find go to the bar and sit off by myself and have a drink and and decompress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Lucas, I do this all day long. I talk to people all day long for a living, and then I'm done. And, you know, Lord bless my wife and kids, right? So I need just a moment. Mama needs 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I don't talk to people for a season after I'm done with my day. That's normal. That's actually going to be that dopamine release that I'm sure hoping to get after I have been at a high for too long. There's many different professions that experience that. That doesn't indicate that you have an issue with people.
Yeah.
It says that you pour yourself out from very deep within and you're passionate about what you do.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's a valid point because I go out and you know, a lot of times, like when I pull in the driveway at the house, I'll just sit in the car and just sit there for a few minutes and just think.
Yeah.
And you know, I typically go home for lunch. And so little dude's five and he's wide open right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes Alex will get a little frustrated with me because I'll say, hey, I'm going to come home for lunch. And then I don't come home for lunch. And it wasn't that I don't want to see my family. It's that, you know, if it's been a stressful day or a hard day, mm-hmm. I need a few minutes with just quiet and allow me to process my thoughts and get through those thoughts. When you're around people and you do, like, I enjoy being around people and helping people, and that's a thing for me, right? I also recognize that I've poured so much into that mm-hmm. that I've not had enough time to process my thoughts and think through it. I'm only thinking about the other person.
Yeah.
So if I don't stop and take a deep breath, right, I will find myself exhausted. 4 days of this.
It manifests into back pain, let me tell you. You're just trying to shave, and all of a sudden, you sit down on the toilet, and you try to get back up, and that's the thing. That's what happens when you do that.
That's the most obscure and random experience I think I've ever heard.
He knows I can't stand up straight first thing in the morning.
Why are you shaving at the toilet? That's really weird, brother.
No, it's not. You know, not when you have a bidet. You can just like scoot back and wash your face.
Do you rinse the razor in the bidet? I got the same haircut you do, brother. Shaving's part of my day. I get that.
Are you familiar with the Freebird?
The Freebird?
Yeah.
Does it involve a mullet?
No.
No.
So it's a little handheld.
It's got like the palm thing.
It's been life changing for this.
It is a free bird. Yeah. It's got the little eagle on it. Yeah. I've got one of those.
It's been life changing for this podcast. It really has. I wish they would sponsor the show. It's been phenomenal for the show.
Yeah.
People no longer think my host over here is an AIDS patient. He's not coming in with big scars and blood all over his head.
An AIDS patient.
I use the razor.
It's like it's meth, guys.
It's meth.
It's just meth.
That explains so much.
Anger, the frustration, the highs, the lows, and the scabs.
Yes, the scabs. This is probably our best episode ever. Just want to point that out.
You think so?
This is a pretty cool cat right here.
What's that? He rolls with the punches. You know why? He's a people person. He knows how to roll with the punches.
What about you, David? What about you?
He just punches.
Yeah.
He's a hitter.
His wife is a redhead.
Anyway, back to your point.
Okay.
You can sit on the toilet and then you can sit there and be like, do you knock out two birds with one stone? That's fantastic. Utilize your time a little bit more. I'm very deliberate about my mornings. I want them in a certain like.
The Freebird actually, I think, works better in the shower, just to be honest with you.
I haven't tried. I'm a little freaked out trying it in the wet. The shower.
Yeah.
No?
I've been using one for about a year.
And really?
It's
just blast through it. No problem. Right through it,
yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it works good. And then you can pop the blades open and give it the rinse in the shower head. Put it back.
That's probably.
If you don't pop the blades open, by the way.
It gets really gross. Yeah, don't do that.
Well, it gets gross. And then one day you're like, and it goes, and it just starts flashing at you. You're like. I just charged you.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it can't be that.
Just full of dead skin.
Full of dead hair. Dead skin and old hair.
Glad I don't have that problem yet. I'm closer, but I don't have that
problem. You're not losing your hair. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Is your dad really? Bald?
No, he's thin. He's got hair back to like gray here.
What about grandpa?
You getting a little cul-de-sac back here at the backside?
No, it's all up front. And there's pictures of it. There's pictures showing exactly what happens. I get stressed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right?
So, if you look at your haircut, you know, it's been, I don't know, 25 years since I've combed my hair, but I'm looking at his and like, he's pulling it back and pulling it back. Yeah. No wonder it keeps going backwards. Maybe you should pull it forward.
Is it going backwards?
Yeah, the faux hawk.
It is. And look, the only fear I have about that is I'm going to have these like giant holes in my head. All right.
Holes?
Yeah. Those are holes.
Holes from what?
A window.
Yeah.
I was 4 years old.
Went right through one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
250 Honda.
Okay. Yeah. I've got scars from a Honda too. But it's because the hood struts gave up. And wham!
Oh,
man, it just...
That hurts. Man, does that hurt. Hey, you know what? The worst injury I've ever had working on a car. And I've had some like nasty injuries. I fell off of a fender one time and smashed my kneecap into it and like dented the fender and bones crunched and cracked. Doesn't bother me. Hurt my back working on a car. That doesn't bother me. I slid off of a hood one time. I was like up on the hood in the safety latch. It points up and it's that little V shape. I think it was a Dodge pickup. Mm. And I started to slide backwards and I thought my knees were going to hit the bumper and they missed the bumper. And so when they did, they caught the boys on that U-shaped hook ripped my britches and hung me on that. Boys, I'm going to tell you what, that was pain, man.
Oh, my gosh. Because
it wasn't just like they caught.
Right in the old yam sack.
Oh, dude, well, it was like they rolled, right? It was like
they rolled.
They rolled, and then they caught, and then that stopped me, right? That's what stopped me. And that is a
wake-up call. I've never known them to be doubled as a fall restraint, but hey.
It stopped me.
Okay.
That was a good episode.
That was awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Changing the Industry podcast. If you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. And don't forget to set it to automatically download the latest episode. Our efforts with this podcast, the YouTube channel, and the Facebook group wouldn't be possible without the support of our awesome sponsors. So please take a moment, check them out by clicking on the links in the show notes.